It's Tiff. Thank you so much for joining me in this episode. This is a special one because I'm dedicating it to Chapa Freak, my design community. They're the ones who introduced me to design. I had no idea that design is a career, like you can actually become a designer, that you can make a living by solving people's problems and you don't have to code. I had no idea. And I wanted to share my story of how I joined this community and how I've progressed, and I hope that it will help not just you as a listener, but you as a member of whichever design community you belong to, whether it's Chapa Freak or any other design community. I hope that you will learn and also you will be able to grow. So let's get to it. I was part of the GADS 2020, GADS being Google Africa Developer Scholarship Program, and I knew as of 2020, I knew that I was working towards becoming a front-end web developer because I really fancied how websites and apps look like and operate, and I wanted to make something along those lines and achieve along those lines. But someone, I don't know, I think it was Brain, a member and a leader of the community, posted a link in the random section of the GADS Slack group, and I just decided to join because it looked interesting and it looked weird and it looked like it would help me. So I clicked on the link, and we were a few members in, we were very few at that time, and we just started. And shout out to Esther and Michael Schumacher. They really helped me because I had no idea. I'd only used Figma once, and that was just to follow along a tutorial that this guy on YouTube, what is his name? Cosetro, I don't know if it's Cosetro or Design Course, that dude. Anyways, he posted a tutorial on how to use Figma, and I always wondered, like, how do people come up with such beautiful, you know, pieces, beautiful websites, beautiful apps? I had no idea, but I was introduced to Figma and I just created something really crappy. But anyways, I created it as I was following along the tutorial, and that was the end of it. And the next time I touched Figma is when we were given our first assignment or task to gauge our knowledge on design through the community. It was to design a product page for an African fashion brand. Funnily enough, I created a horrendous landing page. So that was my first mistake. I created the wrong page and my colors were off. Everything was off. I think the only thing that was going for me was layout. And I think because of my knowledge in code, layout was kind of easy for me. But right now, I can say that one of my struggles is layout, in the sense that it's now not you knowing how to follow the rules, but learning how to break them in such a way that it looks so effortless, and you innovating upon what is already being done. So I think I was able to whip up something, and Esther along with Michael helped me in producing better designs along the way, and slowly I became better. I do not know how. I think it's due to practice and feedback, receiving constant feedback, and just putting myself out there, just wanting to learn and wanting to improve. Yes, so that was in October. In the course of November, when we were like a couple of people in the group, now the group is filling up, and I don't know if I was the only Kenyan designer in that group at that time, because it's a Pan-African thing. Nigerians, Congolese, it's just a bunch of Africans just coming together to do crazy stuff and just learn design and push the design bar higher. We were split into teams. There was a challenge which went on to come up with an MVP. So you had to choose if you wanted to do along the lines of finance or food and delivery. Of course, me with food, I chose food, and some people chose the along the lines of finance, which is also cool. It was a really hard choice, but weirdly enough, no one wanted to do games. I think it's because of that fear of not being well grounded in coming up with an app, and you're still learning the fundamentals of color, because games are really vibrant, and one of the main things that capture your attention as a user is color. And if you're struggling with color, I think you just go for the safe bet of go running away from games. But nonetheless, I think that's a fear, that's a false fear, if I can call it. But anyways, we split up into groups, and I led the group into creating an MVP called Chop Now. It's something I sing about up until now because it was a really weird experience, because it was in the midst of the end, this thing which was going on in Nigeria at that time, and it wasn't end SARS. Yeah, it was end SARS. And we couldn't really get a hold of the Nigerian designers. I think it was me and my fellow colleague Emmanuel in Kenya. So, and he was just starting out, he had no idea of what is going on. He was a new member, so it was really weird. It was just my first hit of remote work, and it was really hard. I had no idea of how to lead, and it was really a messy time, but it was a really fun time, because when we actually got to meet and share ideas and brainstorm and wireframe together, and it was really fun because I could get to see how they communicate, how they relate, how they suggest. It's fire, is all I can say. And sadly, we couldn't finish on time. And we tried meeting up again to finish up the MVP, but because of our own engagements, it couldn't really happen. But I don't regret a minute of it, because I got to meet amazing people remotely. And fun fact, this is a remote community. None of us have ever met physically. So we just talk to each other via WhatsApp and Google Meet, and that's it. And we give each other feedback, but I can't emphasize more than I am right now that remote is where we're going. So if you want to connect with other people, to tap into resources that aren't available to you in your own country or your own area, remote is the way to go. You can tap into what other people are doing. Yeah, so I got into my first community remotely. I've never met these people, but right now there are people I talk to every day, even more than people who I can actually meet physically. And Yeah, that's all I can say. That was as of last year. This year, I got the chance to become a leader in that community, and slowly I'm also gaining my ground in what I actually want to do as a designer. And I've mentioned earlier on that in previous episodes of me being a product designer, yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now, is helping other product designers in the community. So if anyone posts, I get the work, I give them feedback, such kind of stuff, and you're able to help other people who have no idea of what this thing is, have a better picture of what they're supposed to do, and making it easier for them. God knows it wasn't easy for us when we were starting out, because you have no idea what you're doing, number one. Number two, you don't know where to go, but at least with the community, you're told, okay, you want to do this, try this tutorial or go this way, and once you follow that path, you're able to now understand what you need to do and figure it out on your own. So I can't emphasize further the fact that you need to, if you can, join a community and be active in it. That's the most important thing. And our community is slowly evolving, I can say. And we have big plans for our community, and we'll be unveiling them slowly. But I just wanted to give you a slight, a small background of where I came from and how I'm journeying along with the community. Yeah. So a couple of lessons, and this is to beginners because I'm an intermediate designer. I can't really advise people higher than me. I could, but for the purpose of this, for the sake of this episode, I'll be addressing beginners because God knows I was there last year, and it's hard. Number one, it's hard. Don't let any program or any boot camp or any event or resource lie to you that it's easy, that you can become a designer through challenges and all these things that people are doing right now. That's just a piece of it. It's hard in the sense that it's not just your skill set, but it's also your soft skills and who you are as a human being, and your mentality and your mindset and where you're coming from and your background. As a designer, it's not just about what you can produce on your screen or the product you can make with your hands or on the screen. That's just a piece of it. You as a designer, you are, that's not the only thing that defines you, but it's how you think, how you feel, and how you view life and others and problems, your opinion, your perspective, your philosophy, what guides you, such stuff. It's hard to cultivate, and it's not something that will come in like that, pop, through a 30-day challenge, you're now a designer. No, it's going to take some time for you to unlearn some stuff, for you to relearn some stuff. When you receive feedback, that feeling of getting over the feeling of resentment, of judgment, of anger, some sort of anger. If it's your first time receiving feedback, you think your work is fire, but it's not. It's not really. It's going to pinch and it's going to hurt, and you're gonna accept it because feedback, it's necessary. The first days as a designer, I had to receive plenty of it. It wasn't really easy all the time, but that feedback transformed my work. It made my work better. It made me understand there's some things I need to learn. It made me realize that my color game is just all over the place. Mind you, I'm still working on color even now, but I can say I'm way better. And I wouldn't know that I have a problem with color if I didn't receive feedback and someone telling me that your colors are off, like you need to go back and learn about color, I wouldn't know. So it's hard. Number two, your mindset as a designer. When you receive challenges, what do you do? How do you feel? How do you respond? And I'm not talking of what you will say you will do, but what you will actually do. How you will actually step up. What, like, not the idea of what you will do, but what you will actually do. What values, what intrinsic values guide what you do, how you think, how you feel, how you reason with people. It's not going to happen in a day. It's going to take some time. And that's why you need to be patient with yourself. And don't push it too far in terms of you doing it. My first days, I used to design almost every day. And it reached a point where I reached burnout, like literally burnout. I would open Figma, since Figma is my tool, and I'd just look at the screen and had no idea of what I'm meant to do. I'd just look at the screen, and those are like one of the telltales. I'm like, there's a problem. And I'd advise beginners, even if you know you have that feeling that you're behind, just be patient with yourself. Know when to work, know when to rest, that balance. And it's something I'm working on still. I want to be honest with you. It's something I'm still working on. And the further along you progress, the further along you'll get better. And the further along you'll be in more demand, which means you need to work even harder because you need to deliver even more and better and faster. And before you reach that point, with whichever work you have right now as a beginner, take it slow. Understand the fundamentals of your hard skills and also your soft skills. Start working on them. That's why you're in the community. Learn how to communicate effectively. And this is something I'll also iterate later in the episode. Learn how to communicate effectively. Learn how to ask for feedback and to receive feedback and to take that feedback and make it reflect on the second iteration of your work. Learn how to ask questions, learn how to reach out to people, and most importantly, learn how to help people. You may be a beginner, but there's a way you can also help someone who's intermediate or senior or whichever level they are. It doesn't matter where you are. There's something in you. That's why you're there. There's something in you. There's something that you have. There's something that you are. There's something that you can give that all the other members of the community cannot. And that's why you're there. And give it, share it, feel free. And that's the small thing. Those are the small things you can do to be better, if I can say. Something else. Don't settle for perfection. Don't settle for perfection. This is something I'm also working on. I won't lie. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I love my things just looking mwah all the time. And it takes time. And when you have deadlines, or when you're working with deadlines, it's gonna be a problem. So I'll share with you a tip. I got through working on a product, a real life product. Something called the 90-10 rule. So it goes something like this. It's better to put in 10% of the work to get 90% of the results than for you to put in 200% of the work to get 100% of the results you actually want. The thing is, It's better to get something out there and get it rolling, rather than you working on making it better, not putting it out there. When you put it out there, just work on something minimum, put it out there, share it, so that other people can see, you can get feedback, and you can get input and perspective that you wouldn't get when you were still perfecting on it in that little world of yours, is what I can say. So share your work, and yeah, get perspective. And most importantly, when you receive feedback, understand where this person offering the feedback is coming from. Learn how to see how they view, and you'll be able to better adjust and better understand what you need to do to make your work better or deliver more effectively. Something else, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I had no idea on how to, I'll give two instances, if you might call them. Earlier in the year, I think it was in the course of, was it April? No, it must have been February. I had no idea on how to make mock-ups. Like, I had no idea. I'd just see them and I'd be like, wow, these things look fire. But I had no idea on how to make or create these things. And I asked around, and Esther actually popped up, my colleague from Chapa Freak, and helped me understand and trained me and guided me into making these mock-ups. And truly enough, I can mock up right now. So don't be afraid to ask for help. You might think it's silly, some things where you know you're supposed to know but you don't know, and when you ask you feel silly because you're not supposed to be asking them. Ask for help. And if you're asked for help, don't, if you're in the position to offer the feedback or offer the help, please do so freely. You'll be saving the time, you'll be saving your own, and just move on. Yeah, don't do this or that. You can only refer when you see the need to, but if you can share it fully, share your feedback, share your help. Save each other some time. If you know something that someone else doesn't, give them the help, share the help, and move on. Yeah, is what I can say. Something else is, oh, another instance before I move on to the next point. The reason why I believe Chapa Freak is a really unique community is because of our diverse backgrounds. So when I was working on my portfolio, I reached out to a friend from the Chapa Freak community, and I had no idea on how to make my portfolio. Like, I didn't know where to start, and I reached out and he helped me, like, literally view my portfolio from a different perspective, in such a way that I'm sharing my work not in the normal logical sense of discovery, that logical flow of the design thinking process. I did questionnaires, I did empathy mapping, I did wireframes, these are the prototypes, that's it. I got to realize that I want my portfolio to be the kind where you don't have to be in a tech background to understand the problem I'm solving. But you might be, for example, if I'm solving a problem around mental health, you can come and view my portfolio and understand how technology is helping the mental health space. And you're able to talk to someone or talk to whoever is viewing your portfolio from you discussing the problem and the solutions and why you think those solutions are relevant. I didn't know that portfolios have such power. it's not just about, I think most people are geared towards that process of how you solve the problem, but I don't think that's the main thing you should be focusing on. You should be focusing on the problem itself and why you think it's a problem and why you think the solutions you came up with will solve the problem or make whatever product you or industry you're impacting better, or if your innovation is truly an innovation. And that's the thing I think portfolios ought to do. And I wouldn't be thinking this if it weren't from someone from the community. So I thank him. Yeah. I think this design, when you're designing portfolios, I think I should just go ahead and talk about this. I don't think it might apply to graphic designers because graphic designers, it's more on visual, the visual thing. But if it's product or if it's UX or UI, I think it's more on the problem more than the process. I don't know how you solve problems. I don't know your philosophy, but it depends on how you view. For me, it's from that view. And now as a product designer, it's not just about the problem I'm solving. It's also about the parties involved, how the business goals are being hit, if this product fit, if I'm meeting my customers' needs, if we're making money. That's not what I'm focusing on. And I believe that portfolios should be a testament of how you think and how you feel and who you are, not just as a designer, but who you are as a person. So I would give this piece of advice to beginners, as beginners, to beginners or intermediate or whoever, when you're approaching like your portfolio or that kind of nature of your testament of your work, a testament of your work, don't focus too much on yourself, but focus on the people you're impacting or the industry you want to innovate around. Yeah. So something else, I think I'll do a talk on portfolios and maybe bring someone to who's better in this thing. But anyways, for now, I can just say that ask. If you have any question, there's no question stupid. There's no stupid question. Ask. If you know it's gonna make you better, ask. If you're having a problem with a task, or there's a plugin you don't know how to work around, there's something you want to do but you don't know how to do it, ask. It's going to really help you. And I think the reason why we are scared of asking is of how our system is. That room for failure isn't there. If you fail, you're doomed. And I think we need to those are some of the things we need to unlearn. If you fail, it doesn't mean you are doomed. It just simply means there's something which you didn't catch up on, which you need to just catch up on, learn. And when you learn and understand, you'll be in a better position of growing and becoming better. So don't be afraid to ask. So at this juncture, I'll be talking specifically to product designers in the community. And if you are a product designer anyways, I think it can help you. So if you are beginning this journey of product design, number one, I'd plead and add with you to learn more about business, how the business world works, how the startup world works. These terms of product fit, knowing your customer, all these terms of around the business. Understand how businesses work, how they make their money. It's going to really help in molding your perspective of delivering solutions when you will be called upon to create this or make this, or there's a problem along this area, help us solve it. Understand how businesses work. Understand the key players and the stakeholders of the business. Understand the customers of the business, and it will really help you in seeing how best you can solve the problem. Number two, work closely with your product owner or your product manager. You may be new to a particular company, startup, brand, whatever, and you don't really have an idea of how things work, and the first versions of your work will be around your own assumptions and your own thoughts. But when you work closely with your product owner and continually seek feedback, you'll be able to understand the product better, and you'll be in a better position to understand what the product is all about, who the people behind the product are all about, who they're targeting, why. You'll be able to understand the product strategy, and you'll be able to deliver better. So work closely with the product owner, product manager. Yeah. Something else, well, is don't be scared. Feed the fear. Don't be scared. Feed the fear is what I can keep on saying. If you're scared of making that move in your life, at first, I didn't know, this is what I wanted to do. And once I got talking to people, and once I started opening up, product design is interesting in the sense that if you're a curious mind, if you're a hungry soul, if you seek to create patterns and solve problems, and you're able to view and deep yourself into things that are beyond you, I think product design is one of those industries that you can do that, because you're innovating continuously and you're able to see problems where other people don't, or other people just assume, and you're able to do something about it. If you have an idea, you can do something about it. You can actually actualize it and have something in your hand. And don't be scared of taking that step. Don't be scared of what other people say. Don't be scared of getting out of that bubble of yours of wondering if this is for me. Don't be scared. Feed the fear by taking that first step. It doesn't have to be a mile of you running. It just has to be that step, that first step of you conquering that fear and becoming bolder. Yeah. Something else for product designers is you need to learn how to communicate effectively. Communication is the heart of human interaction, and you get to realize that what you say and how you say it is really impactful in delivering a fantastic customer experience. There's a way you can hit the nail on the head. You may be lacking in one area, but how you say it, it will cover up for it. So learn how to communicate effectively, not just in your products, and I'm talking about digital products, for example, if you're doing apps, websites, service portals, whatever it is. If you're able to communicate clearly, concisely, effectively, you're going to go a long way in helping people solve their problems. Yeah, and making life easier. And something else, you need to learn to communicate effectively as a person. You know, when you're putting across your points, when you're sharing your ideas and your suggestions and your thoughts, as I know you have brilliant ideas. So find a way of learning how to put across your ideas, not just in a brilliant way, but also in a way that will reach the person and they'll be convicted and they'll see how you think and how you're viewing it. Yeah. And something else I've learned from the community that I think I should share with you is that we have a brilliant pool of resources. I'm not talking about the links we post or the things we share on the platform, but the people are brilliant. When you get to engage with people, they are brilliant. In my community, Chapafik, they are brilliant. I get to see how people work. I get to see how people solve problems. You get to see how people ask questions, because the way you can ask a question really determines where you're coming from and the level of growth you've attained, and it's amazing. So tap into that resource. If you see someone is saying something brilliant, DM and find out more about it. You'll be wowed and surprised on what they have to offer and the networks you can make, you can create for yourself. And the relationships, not just networks, relationships you can forge with people who think and feel and see life differently from you. And I think that's the essence of design. Being able to deliver something different that people long for. People long for more. People long for different. Because they are different. They are more. And they want something that matches that. And as designers, it's our job to deliver that. And when you relate with people and learn how to relate with people who are diverse, you'd be able to deliver that, because you'll have an idea of what it is you are to deliver. I think that's it for now, because I've said a lot. If I can wrap it up, I'll say, as product designers, we like complicating stuff, and people don't like complicated stuff. Depending on the nature of the product also, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep your communication simple. Keep the UI simple. Make the functionality of the product first. I think if you are in UX, UI, you're focused more on how it looks, how it works, but not the functionality, the goal behind what the product is supposed to do. It's supposed to be, I think it should be a rule of thumb at this point, at this juncture. Keep your product stupid simple. Keep it stupid simple. If the goal of the product is to help users get loans, make it simple for them. Don't be flashy. Keep it simple. Don't be carried away by what other people are doing on Dribbble. Keep it simple. Keep it clean. Make sure it works. If you can get away with something from this episode, make products that work. Make products that achieve what you intended them to do in the first place. If your goal was to help someone make a successful donation, for example, keep it so simple that they won't guess twice or think twice on how to do it. It will be just, you put your money, you select the account they're supposed to donate to, you confirm the donation, and that's it. You're supposed to make it simple. People have a lot on the mind. Make it simple. And make your products in such a way that it's not a robot talking to them, but it's actual people with souls, with with humor, with character, with personality, talking to them. And you'll be surprised you'll be surprised with a lot. Yeah. I think I can now shut up and take a glass of water because I have said a lot. But nonetheless, this is a special dedication to Chapa Freak because this community has helped me grow. This community has helped me meet people who I've never met in my life. I know people who I'm closer to than people I can meet physically because they've journeyed with me when I was confused, when I was overwhelmed. They filled in my questionnaires when I needed them to. They walked with me, and all I can do is just walk with them too and share what I've been feeling and sharing my thoughts on what they need to do as we onboard new designers, as we designers still grow. I sometimes feel like I'm always a beginner designer because there's the things like I don't know and the things like I feel like I need to know. There's so much to learn, if I can just frame it that way. There's so much to learn, and you may be able to carry out one thing, but you find that there's just a ton of other things that you're not able to do. And that's the beauty of learning, because you can do it every day and take it a step at a time. So taking it a step at a time is, yeah. So I think that's it. You can, and a tip for those people who do not belong to Chapa Freak, I'll be posting a link if you'd like to join the community. And something else, I may be have been biased towards my community, but a pointer, I'll just take 2 minutes and share with you pointers on what you need to do if you belong to other communities. Number one is make sure you're active in whichever capacity that you think you need to be active as, or what you can offer. Make sure you do that to the best of your ability and be there for the right reasons and be in a position where it's a give and take kind of relationship. You're not just helping people, but you're there to also be helped. If you have any problem, that they can address it, and if other people have problems, that you're there to hold them down and be with them and help them. Yeah. And something else, you need to be grateful because you have a community and you have the privilege of joining a community. So I hope you should be able to show how grateful you are that you are in one. And I'm saying this because I can see in Kenya there are not many communities, design communities. I have to be very specific. There are not many design communities. Someone asked me to form one, but I feel like it's so overwhelming because where will you start? And this is like a field where it's still growing. People are still finding their footing. Not many people know, like, you can actually become a UI, UX designer, that product design is a thing. That product design, like people who do the USSD codes, those are product designers. People who sit down and create the service portals, the websites you see, the apps you download on your phone, whether it's loan apps, finance apps, whether it's game, Kenyan made games. Designers are behind that thing, and it's still growing, and we're doing it slowly but surely, is all I can say. And I urge you, listener, if you belong to any other community, just be grateful that you are in one, because not many people have the privilege of joining a community. For example, just because of, for example, access, resources, they don't have the resources to pursue their dreams. be grateful that you actually have that those resources, and make it a plan of yours to help other people who don't have those resources, to give them access or to help them in one way or another to make their dreams come true. Because as you know, as a designer, imagine just making your dreams come true, is you being a designer is something really big. So yeah, I'd say that be active, be grateful, and also network with people, form relationships with people. I think there's a difference between networks and relationships. Networks are just people you meet, but relationships are people who you actually get to know and help each other and cultivate something bigger than yourself. So aim for relationships and make sure you work on yourself, on how you think, how you feel, and grow mentally and also your mindset and how you view problems and how you see the world. Make sure that grows every day. On that note, I think I'll come to an end. I said that I'll finish, and that that I'm done, and that was like 5 minutes ago, because if I don't stop now, I'll keep on talking, and I know that you have so much to do, so I'll let you leave. And I thank you so much for joining me in this one. If you have like suggestions on other episodes or topics that you'd like me to discuss, I'll post my email as well at the bottom of or at the end of this episode. And if you'd like to reach me, like, I'm a remote person, so I'll definitely reach back. Yeah, I don't really have many friends over here, so my social media, I mean my email will be popping. So yeah, so that's it, and thank you for joining me, and I wish you all the best in your journey as you grow and become a better designer, and make sure you design real, because there's no other way other than designing real. Mwah. Something that I really forgot to mention, which I think is really important. Oh my goodness, I don't know how I forgot this, but it's the most important thing. Why are you a designer? Like, as a beginner or whichever level you are at right now, why are you a designer? By now you should be able to establish your own philosophy. It's not gonna happen like magic, but why you got into this should be like one of the guiding points towards you forming your own philosophy. And I think I think my philosophy revolves around impact. So my main intrinsic motivating factor is creating impact wherever I go. So as a designer, you may not really be acquainted with this, but intrinsically you should be able to start forming your own values, your own guiding points towards your why you're doing this thing, why you're a designer in the first place, why you're solving problems. So for me, it's impact. For you, it may be creating utility for people, making lives simpler. Whatever it is, just have your own philosophy, and that philosophy will guide you and help you and mold you into who you are destined to be as a designer. All of us are different. All of us are not cut from the same cloth. We are all from different backgrounds. We're all having different lifestyles. But there's one thing that we all need to have, is a philosophy. Why are you here in the first place? And why will you keep on going when the tough hits you and when everything is haywire? What will keep you going? One of those things is your philosophy. Why you started in the first place and what you hold dear. Yeah. So I think that's important, right? Yeah. So, like, for real now, goodbye and have a good one.